I've entitled the message, Seeing Adversity as a Friend. Seems strange to think of adversity and friendship colliding at all, but this is an important part of grasping who you are, grasping what God is doing with you, and the overall concept is from James 1:2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or trials. Let's look at that verse and break it down a little bit. James 1:2. My brethren, count it. This is the word to consider, to ponder it. And it's used in a form that means consider it for yourself. Consider it all joy. This is whole joy, unmixed joy, gladness, not sorrow and, you know, crowding in with some joy in it. Just rejoicing that you have the trial. When, and this is the word whenever, not necessarily promising that it will happen, but whenever it does, you fall into, and this is literally falling into the midst of it. It's like falling into the midst of thorns, or like the man fell into the midst of thieves. You're falling in the middle of something, and diverse is diverse. It means all kinds of temptations. The King James margin here says, or trials. And this is the word for testing something. Testing to see if this stuff that you dug up from the earth is real gold or just looks pretty. Testings. This is a testing. You are being tested by adversity. The question is, will you pass the test? The good news is God is faithful. The bad news is he'll give you the test again if you failed it the first time. So get it right the first time, see. We are to welcome adversity as a guest. Not a very pleasant guest, but we welcome it as a guest. Not begrudge it as an invading enemy. This is looking at it in the wrong way. This is inviting ourselves to fail. We know that if God has allowed this, it will help me. It will help you to grow in ways that we haven't yet grown. He put this into our life because we needed it. We needed to overcome it. Just assume adversity to be a part of your life. There's none of this, I didn't sign up for this type of thing. See? He has given you a life, he's given you eternal life, and now he wants you to grow. He wants you to learn things you haven't learned yet. We see this in James 1, verse 3. He says, knowing this, here's how we can count it all joy, that the trying, here, the testing of your faith worketh. And this is the word that means intensively working for you. Patience, endurance, some character quality. God brings the adversity so that as you strengthen yourself in overcoming that adversity, you have gained something you hadn't gained yet, or to a measure that you haven't gained it. Now, granting that in this life you cannot reach perfection, you must take perfection as your goal. You know, I've often thought that if you just say, you know, I'm just aiming for about 85% perfection. Every time you sin, every time you do something wrong, you're saying, oh, that's part of that 15% I'm not worried about, you know. You'd have a ready-made excuse. We want 100% perfection. That has to be the goal. You will fail without the peace of mind that you tried your hardest, that you did your best. That's where we want to go today. So let me do this with you. Let me redefine success for you. Success for you. Success for your life. Success, I want you to define success as how close you come to reaching your own potential. This isn't how well you did compared to me or compared to someone else. We'll just find somebody that didn't make it very well and we say, look how much better I'm doing than they are. Or just give up in despair because we can't do what somebody else has done. That's not it. He wants you to be you, but he wants you to be the best you can be. And where that hasn't happened yet, where that isn't true in your life, he's going to give you a testing for you to build up in that area. Maybe the problem is loving as God loves. So he's going to give you a very unloving, unlovely person to deal with. And you're going to have to learn, if I'm supposed to love my enemies, I'll have to love this person as well. You have to find out how to do that, how for you to do it, how for you to handle it. Perhaps it's you've always had nice things, and he'll take those away. And he says, I want you to understand what the basis of life is. It's not about stuff. Build good habits. This is the way to deal with these adversities. Build good habits. A competent life is one of proper habits. If you don't have habitual good things in your life, you just choose as you feel like it, your life's going to be a wreck. It always will be. It's going to be a mess. Just doing what you want, doing what feels good. Have some habits that build strength. The fundamentals of Christianity are your personal devotional love for God, thanking him for what he's done, making you, sending his son to die for you, giving you eternal life when you got saved. But secondly, dedicating your life, your mind, to searching and learning in the Word of God. How will you show your devotional love for God? By poring over his love letter, reading it as though he wrote it to you, because he did. He knew you even as he was inspiring the words. When Brother Ken Houghton, our missionary to Great Britain, was with us, staying at my house, he mentioned that he had picked up a book by John Wooden on leadership, and he said he appreciated it very much. You know what a sports fan I am. I didn't have any idea who John Wooden was. Sounded kind of stiff, you know. So while I was there, I went on my phone, looked it up, and ordered it right then and there, because out of his recommendation, this is a missionary that I highly respect, not only for his Christian life and so on, but for his leadership, what he's been able to accomplish. So I ordered it and got it in the mail. And they've been sending me thousands of offers for other sports people who wrote books ever since. It ends up that John Wooden was the immensely successful head basketball coach of UCLA. He was an Indiana boy, made good. He said this, titled one of the chapters, Things Turn Out Best for Those Who Make the Best of How Things Turn Out. He gave as an example something that happened to him. He tells that when he was due to ship out on the USS Franklin during World War II, he suddenly came down with appendicitis. He was rushed to surgery in Iowa City. During his recovery, his ship sailed. His Purdue University fraternity brother, Freddie Stalkup, took his place on the ship. I mean, he didn't volunteer. I mean, he was just sent that way. But he happened to know this man. He was standing where John Wooden would have stood. Too many woods in there. While he's recovering on this tour, a kamikaze fighter crashed directly on Freddie's battle station, doing great damage to the ship, but killing him immediately. sitting in the hospital recovering from appendicitis, saved from a fiery death by the death of his friend. You know, that whole thing about survivor's guilt and all that stuff. But he said he learned this one thing. While we can't control fate, the things that happen, we must do all things possible to control our responses to it. A preacher recently was quoted as saying, life is about 10% what happens to you, but 90% how you respond to it. This is what God is trying to get at when he says, count it all joy when the trials come. You need to say, I'm not going to like this, but it's going to be good for me. I'm glad it's happening. You've got to come to that place. Otherwise, you're just some poor schmuck, you see. You're just some guy that all this stuff happens to. I don't know why it keeps falling on my head, you say. I examined God's uses of the word adversity in the Bible. Adversity. Here are four truths that God reveals about sending adversity into your life. So, when in times of adversity, you find yourself in times of adversity, number one, do not forsake God's direction. You know, you can't allow the attitude, well, if he's going to do this to me, I'll just do whatever I want. See? This is the opposite of what he's intending by this. So he's going to have to do it again and again and again until you get it right. Listen to Isaiah 30, 20, and 21. It uses the word for adversity. Strong's number 68, 69 means literally straits, narrows, distress, and trouble. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity, there's that word, and the water of affliction or oppression, people oppressing you, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore. Don't stop, you know, just don't stop listening to your teachers. Thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. See? When you turn to the right hand, when you turn to the left. Do it my way. It's hard now. It's tough. You're going through this. You're eating bread of adversity, drinking water of affliction. That's what I have to eat and drink. He says, take all that your teachers have given you, all that the Word of God says. Listen to the Spirit of God urging you to obedience. You can't see the way, take the next step of what is right. Do the next right thing. I was reading about a hog farmer in Indiana, southern Indiana. He purchased, for the safety of his flock, herd, pigs, vaccine. It was contaminated vaccine. And he killed every animal he had. What do you do? What this man did, I thought was admirable, he's just dealing with the facts of his life. He moved to Martinsville, and he got a job at a sanitarium and supported his family. What are you going to do? You know, you just can't, and I suppose you couldn't even eat these pigs. So he just did something else, had to move. Farmer moving away from his land. The family, as it turns out, were impressed with the fact that they never heard him express rage or bitterness or even dismay. He did not ask, why me and not others? He simply made the best with what he had. That was John Wooden's father. The man was to take this sense of how to deal with adversity into his own life. I want you to think with me of Joseph in the Old Testament. What an example. when his jealous brothers betrayed him, sold him into slavery into a foreign land, how did he respond to this adversity? See? He kept his personal path, in God's direction. He remembered what he had been taught. He just did the right thing in a tough situation. Suddenly it became obvious to Potiphar, the man who bought him as a slave, that his God was with him. Now, as far as I know, he didn't speak Egyptian when he got down there. He didn't know how Egyptians did this or that and so on. And Potiphar was a big to-do. He was chief of the Pharaoh's, he was a chief officer of the Pharaoh's army. So he had a, you know, what do you call it, that, getting up to speed on his, what he had to learn, how to handle things. But right away, Potiphar recognized that this young man's God was with him. Whatever he touched seemed to blossom, whatever he put his hand to. Genesis 39, 2 and 3, the Lord was with Joseph. Why was he with Joseph? Because he didn't have to spank him, see? He was being obedient to God. God was with him, and he was a prosperous man. What he touched turned to gold. He was in the house of his master, the Egyptian, and his master saw that the Lord, he saw that Jehovah was with him. How did he see Jehovah? It had to be a testimony. See, Joseph was explaining why he did what he did. And that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. He says, I got something with this guy. He was impressed. When things get hard and you don't act like everybody else acts, because your God has a higher path for you to walk, people will notice. And if you say, I am what I am because my heavenly Father loved me, saved me, sent his Son to die for me, I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. That's why I am what I am. That's why I do what I do. Second truth I learned studying adversity. Cooperate with God's way. God has a purpose in this. Cooperate with that purpose. Get on board. Jump on that wagon. See? Don't get run over by it. Strong's 74:51. Adversity. Evil. Bad stuff. Distress. Misery. Injury. Calamity. You get the picture? This is adversity. This is the adversity that he's talking about here. Well, the wise preacher, Ecclesiastes 7, 13 and 14, consider, this is, you use the brain power, you know, consider the work of God. He says, when God does it, you don't change it. For who can make that straight which he hath made crooked? What path has he given you? A crooked one. You're not going to straighten it up. God did that. So what do you do? How do you respond to this adversity? In the day of prosperity, be joyful. I have a good day. I'm going to be thankful for that. But in the day of adversity, evil, distress, misery, injury, calamity, consider. What are we to consider? God also hath set or made the one over against the other. God gave me this path. I will take it at his hand. To the end, to the purpose, that man should find nothing after him. God's purpose is my purpose. I'm not going to try to change what God will do. So what is he saying here? Make the best of the circumstances that God chooses for your life. You make the best of it. Consider your responses to life's conditions are actually your responses to God. Consider the two Bad responses, good responses. How are you dealing with adversity? Bad responses, beg, cry, alibi, sulk, lose self-control. Or good responses, stay poised, alert, confident, hardworking, focused. See, if you have a job that you go to day by day, you should be at it doing the best you can instead of being so falling apart that people say, what's wrong with you? Oh, I had to do this, I had to do that, and this thing happened to me, and so on. Christ said that he came to give us life and life more abundantly. Abundant life. Seek an abounding life. Seek a growing life. Take the difficulty and use it to grow. Joseph again. Joseph worked to become the best slave he could be. That's where he found himself. He didn't ask for that. But there it was. Could God have stopped it? Absolutely. God didn't stop it. Therefore, I'm here because God wants me to be here. So I will take it upon myself to be the best slave possible. Genesis 39, 4 to 6. Joseph found grace in his, Potiphar's, sight, and he served him. You see, you sense that? He didn't begrudge him. He didn't hate him. He served him. And he made him overseer over his house. And all that he had, all that Potiphar had, which was significant, he put into his hand, Joseph's. It came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer at his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. So what did he do? He left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not what he had, save the bread which he did eat. You know, that kind of sounds like the slave. All I know is the food they put in front of me. That was Potiphar. Joseph the slave, he's running everything. Joseph was a goodly person, well-favored. So by making the best of it, the best happened. See? This was God's plan. Later, Joseph was betrayed again, this time by Potiphar's wife. He was sent to prison. So what did he decide? Well, so much for trying to be good. No, he said, well, now I'm a prisoner. I'm going to be the best prisoner I can be. What a challenge, huh? Genesis 39, 21, 23. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, that is, extended kindness unto him, and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison, the warden. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. He found a trustworthy guy. Whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand. That sounds like a prisoner. Because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. The warden says, pretty stroke of good luck for me. I got a guy that'll run everything and I don't have to pay him. He's a prisoner. He's just trustworthy. Talk about a trustee. It was the attitude that became evident that God was with him. A third thing I learned. Look around at your larger context. Your whole life isn't this adversity. Your whole life isn't this problem. Don't focus entirely on the problem. Strong's 68, 69, straits, distress, trouble. David is writing Psalm 31, 7, 8. I, David, will be glad and rejoice in thy, Jehovah's, mercy. You know, we need mercy when we're going through trials. For thou hast considered my trouble, thou hast known my soul in adversities. That's our word, straits, distress, trouble. And he says, but as I look around, you have not shut me up in the hand of the enemy. I'm having trouble, but not that far. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. The trouble you're facing is not everything that you have. We welcome unexpected blessings, don't we? You know, blessings come our way. We don't demand somebody explain why that's happening. We often treat them, I always do that. Unexpected blessings. But if an unexpected problem lands on our doorstep, we're quick to play the victim. I didn't deserve that. Blame others, even God. Because we do that, it becomes our excuse to let up, to lose heart, and then quit. Just the opposite of what God intended by the adversity. Think of yourself as the one who learns more from his difficulties than even from his successes. You become a success and everybody's telling you how great you are. You don't learn much from that. When it didn't work, when something fails, now you have the chance to really learn something. Joseph was like that. Joseph took whatever opportunity to advance came his way. See, you may express the fact, woe is me, see? Just don't let that become your theme song. That's not who you are. Joseph took the opportunity, Genesis 40, 12 to 15. And Joseph said unto him, this is Pharaoh's chief of butlers, who was in prison with him. This is the interpretation of it. He had had a dream that troubled him. The three branches that you dreamed of are 3 days, yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up or reckon thine head, remember you, and restore thee unto thy place. And thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner, when thou wast his butler. But when you're restored, think on me, remember me with thee, when it shall be well with thee. And show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed, I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the prison, into the dungeon. Here's what he's saying. I'm doing the best I can here. I think I could do better out of this. If I could take the advantage of being released, I could do a great job someplace. So here was an opportunity, a man that was going to be restored to his position of authority right next to Pharaoh, trusted place. He says, please help me. Not wrong to do that, you see. Look at your larger context. Take advantage of what you have. And finally, number 4, and I found this particularly intriguing, see opportunities to help others. In a time when you're going through difficulties, they probably are too. This is not just you stubbing your toe. You see. This is you going through a situation where others are in difficulty. Strong 68:69, straits, distress, trouble. Proverbs 17:17, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Straits, distress, trouble. You get it? You're a friend at all times, not just the good times. Like the prodigal son's friends who drank his booze when he was buying it, you know. When he was in trouble, left him alone. Listen to a longer passage, Proverbs 24:10-12. We often hear verse 10, but we don't get the rest of it. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small, narrow. See? Fainting is, giving up, giving away. And then he goes on to explain, if thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death and those that are ready to be slain, you hesitate to deliver them. If thou sayest, behold, we knew it not. Oh, I didn't know that was going to happen. I knew it not. Doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? Don't you think God knows? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth he not know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? Well, I'm having a hard time. Yes, but so are they. So you take the step, you see, to help them. Do you know what I see in this? God often singles out a leader for testing. Go back to the Old Testament, look at the leaders. Look at some of the stuff they had to go through. What was God doing? Building them as leaders. Why am I suffering this? It may be that God sees leadership potential. You can't handle this. How are you going to handle any other problems? Leadership is handling problems. The test, the adversity, is asking, is he strong enough? Is she resilient enough? Take the challenge and say, yes, I am. Wade right into that adversity without complaint, without excuse, without whining. Walking through the adversity makes you stronger. We were defining success. You are not a failure until you blame someone else for your weakness or mistake. Then you're a failure. Never let what you cannot control affect what you can control. Don't let it sour you on what you can do. Joseph had a lot of reasons to be sour, but he helped Potiphar, the slave owner, you see. He helped him. Genesis 39:5. It came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon him all he had in the house and the field. You know, in his own way, Joseph tried to help Potiphar's wife by not giving in to her seduction. She invited him to be seduced. Genesis 39:8-9. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, he's reasoning with her, behold, my master, that's Potiphar, wotteth not what is with me in the house. He's not checking on me about what I do. And hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee. You know what he was saying? He loves you. See? He said, I can have it all, but not you. Because thou art his wife, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? The wickedness would be against Potiphar and against her, though she didn't recognize it. Again, he gets thrown into prison because of this, and he helped the two prisoners with God's interpretation of their dreams. He volunteers. Genesis 40:6-8. Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. Well, they were in prison, but they weren't that sad the day before, see? And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his Lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly? Why are your faces evil? You got an evil face. Today, not yesterday, but today. And they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there's no interpreter of it. Joseph said, aha! Do not interpretation belong to God? I know him. I can ask. He can tell me the interpretation of your dream. Tell me them, I pray you. And ultimately, finally, he gets to meet Pharaoh because there's another dream that needs to be interpreted. And he helped Pharaoh. You think what that meant? In his trial, he was determined to help others. But because of that, he was going to help Egypt. And because of that, he would ultimately help his family. Genesis 41. Now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man, discreet and wise. He's told him the interpretation. It's going to be great 70 great years of bounty and then 7 years of famine. So he says, therefore, let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers, overseers over the land, and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that come and lay up corn, a word for grain, under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. And that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not, be cut off through the famine. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh. He says, I get an interpretation of the dream and a way out of the problem. He turns and he looks at his servants. He says unto them, can we find such a one as this is? A man in whom the Spirit of God is? He says, I think we found our wise man here. We found our discreet man. He sees the problem. He sees an answer to it. And God appointed him ruler of Egypt in that sense. Because of that, in the famine, he could save his family. What will you accomplish in your times of adversity? Just blaming God? Blaming others? Woe is me? Develop your theme song? Or will you wade into it and say, God has a plan for me here, and I will be greater than I was. I will grow in areas that I had not yet grown. So welcome the adversity as a friend. Let's pray. Father, this year before us holds things we cannot know. You know them. You not only know what it is, but you know why. Now I ask that you might so work that we might come to the place, Father, that we can welcome them as friends because we know that at the end we will be better than we were. We can have a positive attitude when the trials come because we know you're in control, that nothing ultimately bad will happen to us as we give our lives to Thee. Help us, Father, then, to trust Thee and to do what's right. Help us to look around and see if there's those that we can help, even in times of trial. And we will be the people who have not forgotten your word, who are ready to accomplish what you have for us in this trial, to be tested and found genuine, found worthy, with heads bowed, eyes closed, not knowing what will come, but knowing that whenever adversity comes, you can be ready. I wonder if you would just slip your hand up and say, pray for me, that God may use me in the times of adversity to come. Pray for me. Yes, amen. Amen. Thank you. Father, then we turn our hearts to Thee and recognize that we will be walking a path in this coming year, as long as You give it to us, that will include some rough places where we might stumble and fall, but we're going to hold on to Your hand that we are not utterly cast down. I pray, Father, that You might help us to recognize that You have a purpose in these things, and therefore we can count it holy joy. We thank You for each one that raised the hand, recognizing the need to take Your strength into our human adversity. So we pray for each one. Build within them that sense that You and they together can overcome any problem. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.